I worked on my sermon yesterday from 2 to 12 midnight. I hope your soul could be really impressed. Only to discover at 12 midnight, it wasn't going to work. I know in my own spirit when something will float, so to speak. I know when I have insight, and that's what people are looking for, to hear something and say, what is he going to say about it and what insight am I going to get? Correct? Am I right? Roughly, that's what people are looking for. Well, after 12 midnight, I looked at it and I said, it lacks one crucial thing, insight. So I'm not doing that sermon. But I do have a sermon, actually. This came to me after midnight, around 12:30. Not the kind of thing that your pastors are meant to do. Doesn't actually matter. Once it comes, it comes. So a word of prayer and then I'll begin. Lord, I just commit what I'm going to say, what you have given, as best we understand, or at least have led this way. Help us, Lord, to be able to answer the questions honestly before you, Lord, not necessarily to each other. Pray for those who listen at another time, Lord, that they too will get something of it and from it. And all God's people said, amen. All right. The Sermon on the Mount, it is no secret, but this, when I see this, it's a moment of great stress for me. I had come from a position of where I didn't know if he'd have anything got to for the autumn, and that the Lord could pull the plug and say, you only have Sundays, forget about midweek. There's a danger of him saying that. However, I couldn't have been more wrong, and he has doubled, and now he will have tripled my work. And so that has caused a great deal of stress. I don't use the word stress too often. I've been second-guessing, am I hearing right? Am I getting it wrong in this situation? Because it can happen. Nobody else has come up with any alternative, by the way, you know. So this is what we have, the Sermon on the Mount. We're only 2 weeks in. And my read is, I'm not too sure how many will last for the 87 or 88 weeks. Truthfully, I don't. It would be much easier for me if I could have convinced the Lord to go back to the original plan. 2 meetings once a month, no commitment whatsoever. Show up if you want. If you don't, you don't. You don't have to send, as I said. And note in Cinder, dog ate my homework. You just don't have to do anything. If you don't show, you don't show. Although it's probably good manners to say if you can come. The Sermon on the Mount. So we've heard 2 sermons. I'm not going to ask you what you think of them, because that is not what the Lord said to me. But this did come to me, and this we heard on Tuesday night. No, it was actually Wednesday night. Even there I'm getting the pressure. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We heard this for maybe 45 minutes. Correct? The last thing you need is another sermon on blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the question. Who is he talking to, and what is he saying? We heard it, and we assume for a minute that God is leading us, or at least leading me. So we heard the sermon. So the question is, who is he talking to, and what is he saying? Good question to ask, isn't it? We all have only so much time, and time is valuable, so you want to spend it wisely. First question came to me. We are only starting with the Beatitudes, and ultimately this is about attitude. It's very straightforward. Attitude. What is our attitude? As we go in, 2 weeks in. Again, I don't want to know what your attitude is out loud, but the Lord is certainly, I believe, asking the question. Because ultimately, this series, at the very beginning, it's all about attitude. We just call them the Beatitudes. I don't know how to answer that. If the Lord was asking you those questions directly at 12:30 last night, maybe he couldn't get hold of you because your phone was off. Don't know. But maybe someone will answer this way. To be perfectly honest, I'm not getting much out of it. RT is not really my style of speaker. It is possible that some of us could have walked away last Wednesday night thinking that. So the Lord's asking attitudes. Well, Lord, to be perfectly honest with you, know, we're only 2 weeks in, but there's not much out of it so far. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what the Lord is trying to communicate. I've given possibly a forced answer. It may not be your answer at all, of course. Your response is, really, it's not doing anything for me. I've come two nights, but really it is not doing anything for me. Is that a possible response? I don't know. If it is, it says something about attitude. And we'll say, if it's not doing anything for me, why is that? And the answer could be, poor in spirit is not where I am at. Now, these are never things that are said out loud. Well, maybe occasionally if I'm meeting for somebody for coffee. But these are things that are that come to our mind and we betray with our attitudes and our actions. Poor in spirit is not where I'm at. But the problem is, it's where Jesus is at. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is not where I'm at. In other words, it's not meeting my felt need. Really, what if you are wrong? What if the Lord actually has you and me there? And he wants to address this thing called, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So what if I'm wrong? And there's something not right in my attitude. What if you and I are a lot poorer than we think? That the Lord is looking down from heaven. He has us all surveyed. He knows where we're at and saying, actually, this is what you need because you are poorer than you think. A few times I have gone to the doctor. One time I went and I was meant to be traveling. I went and I had trouble breathing coming up Floraville. So I went to Menor and I was describing my symptoms. And as I was describing my symptoms, his face was getting paler. And he was writing it down anyway. Next thing he said, I've heard enough. You need to go to Tala A&E as soon as possible. I went in to ask him if I was okay to travel. He was saying, the only place you can go to and you need to go to is A&E, and you need to be there even now. I had no indication in my body that things weren't as they should be. And that was Friday afternoon. Friday night, Saturday night and Sunday, I had to get 3 units of blood. And then they pumped in iron into me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And the consultant said, we're giving you no more. You have drained the whole supply. Get out of here. I was a lot sicker than I thought I was. What if I am poorer than I think I am? It never dawned on me. Did it dawn on anyone in the room on Wednesday night? No, it didn't dawn on me, to be honest. Okay, see what else coming next. Oh, I can't read that. Can you read that? Anyway, I think what it is, you know, what happens if you think you're all right, but you're actually in a desperate state? What then? What if your assessment is completely off? And you and I are at Revelation 3:14-20. And the medicine for if that's the case and our assessment is not correct of where we're at, and the Lord is saying, actually, Revelation 3:14-20 talks about being poor in spirit. in a sense of needing to do something and to do something urgently. With that, we look at Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14. The Lord is speaking to a church that was utterly convinced that all was fine, that they were in wonderful shape, that everything was going grand, and they actually had need of nothing. Let me put that into our thing is, we can go to any meeting we want, right? And become, you know the way you have food critics? We can become spiritual food critics. We analyze what's on the menu. We review the presentation and then what it does for us. But what the Lord is doing here is he is reviewing from heaven and saying, this is how I see it. So the question I'm asking is, what if this is how we really are, or a bit of this is how we really are in the eyes of the Lord? This is to the church in Laodicea. It's a well-known passage. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He goes on to say, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus spitting you out of his mouth is never a good thing. It is a metaphor, of course. But it means, at the very least, he is not happy. If you drink lukewarm tea, what are you inclined to do? If someone presents Guinness to you and it's lukewarm, well, you're not going to do it. So lukewarm, so what he's saying is, you're in between. You're not a this, not that. So what's in, that's his assessment of where we're at. What then? Look at verse 17. It's quite remarkable. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, poor, blind, naked. You know what they were? Self-deceived. He said, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Nobody in the church could see it. As far as they were concerned, they were saying, I am rich, everything is fine, I am doing grand, thank you very much. And the Lord says, actually, you're not. It's actually the reverse. You're in desperate shape. You're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Though they said, I am rich. Let me put that in our language. I am fine, Jesus. All is fine with me. I am happy with where I am and where I am with you. And I think I'm doing fairly well, thank you very much, Jesus, spiritually speaking. And he says, actually, you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. It is the complete opposite to the way we would understand. What causes that is a thing that happens to all of us at times, self-deception. We can easily deceive ourselves. And because we do that, and something comes to us, we'll say, that I already know, that I already stand, I understand, that I do not need, I need something else. Could it be, that's what the Lord is saying to us, only 2 weeks in, there needs to be an attitude adjustment. Question is, what happens if our attitude stinks to high heaven? We're very pleased with ourselves and where we're at, and our knowledge and our practice, and the Lord is saying, actually, you have a lot of knowledge, but your attitude is not right. God forbid the Lord would say anything, such a thing as your attitude or my attitude stinks to high heaven. For many people who follow Jesus, Jesus would never say anything like that. Well, he actually did to the church in Laodicea. What caught my attention was, where does it speak about being poor in spirit in the Bible, apart from the Sermon on the Mount? What's an illustration of it? And this didn't come to me, of course, on Wednesday night. Here's an example of people who think they're wonderful when in actual fact it is the reverse. They do not realize what bad shape they're actually in. Applications. He gives us three. If we find ourselves in his opinion and in his assessment that we are not in good shape, that our attitude is radically wrong and something needs to change, he gives us, well, three instructions. The first one he gives us in verse 18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Poor in spirit, utterly bankrupt. They weren't just poor in spirit, they were utterly bankrupt. And the only thing they could do was go back to him, and he says, I counsel you to come in this case. This is what you actually need. They weren't aware of it until the letter came to them. They needed to become rich, but the richness that they needed was only found in him, and only him could give it to them. So that's the first thing, I counsel you. Next thing, he says, I rebuke you. Verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. If you are not, and I am not, in the shape that Jesus wants us in, and if my attitude is not where it should be, he is going to let me know. And he says very clearly, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. If that's where you find yourself, and you're utterly spiritually bankrupt, that's what it means to be poor in spirit. And say, Lord, I have nothing to bring, only what you will give me and how you give it to me. If I consider myself spiritually rich, then no matter who I'm studying, makes no difference to me, because I feel it's not something that I necessarily need. And I don't know where we're at. I'm just saying this is what he gave me. I rebuke those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. And the last thing he says is a promise. If people do, here I am, I stand in the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. People are striving for spiritual intimacy. What Jesus is offering here is probably the highest level of it you can get. But it's all back down to one thing, an incorrect assessment of oneself. So I ask, next week we're going to do, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. But what would they be mourning over? The fact that they were spiritually bankrupt, spiritually empty, and poor in spirit. But God, in his love and in his mercy, fills people like that. And he puts into them what they desperately need, and they know they need it. And the mourning is the fact that they were in such desperate state. They see themselves as God sees them. That's the reason why blessed are those who mourn. No, we could change that very quickly and say, blessed are those who mourn. It's very easy to mourn, but you can only mourn if you know that there is something that should have been, but is not there. And you see it for what it really is. And in some cases, you see it for what it really is. My question is, could death be the reason that he has us doing this? I don't know. All I know is that there is stress everywhere with it. If it is duty, then you have to decide before the Lord what you have to do. But if it's duty, I say to Jesus, I'm not doing duty. I don't want to come up on a Wednesday night and just put in the time and walk away with almost nothing. Why do that? There's no advantage. But what if he sees things in me that needs to change, the attitude adjustments, and saying, this is what I want you to do. If you hear my voice and you open the door and you invite me in, I will eat with you and you will eat with me. Let me put it very simply. Is it a duty or is it a divine appointment? There's a world of difference. I'm not here promoting RT. The question is, you have to ask yourself that question. Lord, is it duty or is it a divine appointment? Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is the unhindered rule of the Spirit of God in my life. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want more of the Spirit? Who doesn't want more of the intimacy and the knowing? But I have to be honest enough, and I would encourage you, back to the Lord and say, what is your spiritual assessment of me and where I am at? Secondly, Lord, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't want to do duty on a Wednesday night. Just do duty. I would prefer that it was a divine appointment. It's the world of difference. Showing up for the sake of showing up, at this stage I'd say, if that's the case, I am wasting my time because my attitude is wrong even before I go in that door. I have to say, Lord, are you in this? And if you are, then speak, your servant is listening. That is what came to me at 12:30 last night. One of the worst things we can do is to think we are in better shape when in actual fact, like me going to the doctor, I desperately needed expert help and I needed it there and then. Spiritually speaking, the very same can happen. I have to go back and I have to ask him the very same thing. Lord, what kind of shape am I really in spiritually? And let him give me his assessment of it. That's a scary thing to do. You may not get the answer there and then, but it definitely will come. What do you do if he says, come humbly and allow me speak through the servant I have chosen? Whoever that servant happens to be. At the end of the day, he is really only the messenger. What matters actually is the message. So you're there because you believe God wants you there and it's a divine appointment. If it is, that'll take most of the stress out of it. Otherwise, we'll end up just being consumers. And there's better ways to spend the evenings of the night than just being a consumer. As far as I'm concerned, anyway. So, Lord, I come before you. Lord, let it start with me. The lads in Laodicea were utterly convinced, Lord, spiritually speaking, they were in great shape. Lord, they had all the resources they needed. Everything looked good, everything was very organized, very structured, and Lord, we'd say today, well-polished and a well-run machine. And yet, Lord, your assessment of it was radically different. Lord, you know each person's attitude in here. All we're saying this morning, Lord, is if people want, Lord, that you do a survey of the attitude, our mindset, all of that. And let us know, Lord, how you see things. How you actually view our current spiritual state. And Lord, it is possible that we may be a lot poorer, spiritually speaking, than we actually think. Lord, if that's the case, at least we know where to go and what to do with it. Because you have already given us instructions. Lord, we only want to go if it's a divine appointment. Not if it's just duty and it's, Lord, we're dreading it. So, Lord, maybe there needs to be something changed in our hearts there as well. Well, Lord, we have asked, Lord, and show us, Lord, if there is real poverty in us. But we haven't seen it. This, Lord, we ask in your name. Amen.